Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, nice to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing quite well, and we want to talk about the Middle East, believe it or not.
Yes.
You know, I guess the rest of the world's doing quite well. We're not paying much attention to it, but, my theory is that when they draw your attention to one area, you ought to keep your eyes and ears open someplace else,
yeah,
because so often there's ploys and distractions. Anyway, what we want to talk about today is an issue that we've talked about around it, and that is Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, our best allies, and we've been allies, you know, against the war in Yemen. And yet, I think Congress has made some progress there.
Yeah.
You know, they're being less aggressive. And but right now, Trump says he's going to send 500 troops, you know, to Saudi Arabia, putting them on there, which, of course, he claims that's necessary for our national defense purposes. But it also involves, you know, Iran. I mean, the preparation there is obviously directed there. And but they're going to put more B-52s over there and more naval vessels and stealth bombers, aircraft carrier strike force. I mean, some of that stuff still, I believe, is World War II stuff because, you know, if they really get into a hot war and they have to have a quick exchange, which probably would be, those aircraft carriers and a few other things could be taken out, even by a country that's considered minor. I imagine Iran has some equipment, and they throw their weight around. But this is just once again us being involved, and the question is why? And of course, it's for our safety, our security, national security, protect our Constitution, and you know, and take care of our friends. But for some reason, I haven't come down on the side of saying, boy, this is a brilliant idea. You know, we have to maintain our empire, and to do that, we better be prepared. I think, once again, it falls into the trap of doing things that we don't need to do. Because sometimes Trump has a sort of a habit, or maybe deliberate. You know, on the one hand, he puts out the olive branch. On the other hand, yes, but this is what I can do. And so at times he wants to say, yeah, we'd negotiate with Iran and would negotiate with North Korea. But at the same time, so it's on again, off again. It makes it difficult for us.
Yeah.
You know, we want to think in terms of what is your principal stand and what are you going to do and why do you stand up for it and are you doing it? No, we have to keep guessing what is in his strategy. And maybe some days he might not be sure himself.
Yeah, that's true. I think the other thing to consider, and either scenario I think deserves to be have our attention today, but I think the other possibility, and this was reported, it was originally reported by CNN, and based on information from two unnamed Pentagon sources, official sources. So we don't know who those people are. So on the one hand, if it's true, and we'll assume that it is true, and we'll discuss it in that way, but I think an alternative interpretation might be, what if it is someone from within the administration trying to leak information to the press that's not necessarily true? And you think about things like, you know, there's some news yesterday that the president may be sending an envoy to talk to the Iranians to open some doors. What if the neocon reaction is to put out some information like this to make it look like, no, we're getting tougher to try to... So I think these things are happening behind the scenes all the time. And as you point out, a lot of it is Trump's style. He seems to enjoy having chaos around him, people hating each other, fighting with each other all around him. And he somehow, you know, it's like herding cats or something. That may be just his style, but I think it's another possibility to consider.
Yeah, and there will be some who would look at what we're saying. They say, well, you're overreacting. This is not an act of aggression.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just defending a friend. Besides, we need their oil and we need customers. But this is pretty benign, they would say, and it doesn't have any downside to it. But I would like to suggest that there is a downside to it. And I think we had a hint as to how people in that region think. If you want to go back and refresh our memory on 9/11,
yeah.
Because you know, I remember very distinctly being in that discussion, and it was said afterwards that Bin Laden was quoted as saying, "Well, you know, the whole reason 9/11 occurred was because one of the big ones, because he was a very religious person."
Yeah.
He says the big thing is you had military troops on the Holy Land, which is the entire Arabian Peninsula.
Yeah.
And that is what he said. Of course, he blamed also the 10 years of bombing Iraq and also the unfair way we have been treating the Palestinians. But one of the big issues was having military troops on that island, on that peninsula, and evidently there are some slipped back in already. And this is, if this is true, and
yeah.
You point out, you know, you have to wait and see whether this is strategy among the people who disagree with in the administration.
Yeah.
So this hope that the invitation or the effort to maybe talk with Iran is a good idea, and who knows, it may be working. You know, in North Korea,
you know,
North Korea doesn't sound like it's getting worse. If anything, it's better. And it's more than what they've done over the last 30 or 40 years. So let's hope that works out, too. But right now, I think if there is additional troops there, and there is evidence that there are some there already, they should think about what that meant before and how important it was for 9/11.
Yeah, and I think there was something called the Giuliani moment or something where you said, let's listen to the person who attacked us, and he said why he attacked us, and you listed those three things, and Giuliani said, I've never heard anything like that before. And then people, of course, who were in the know, including our friend Mike Scheuer, said, well, of course, this is true. But then a lot of people said, well, why are you going to believe Bin Laden? He's a creep. He's a bad guy. Why'd you believe what he said? And then it was kind of interesting, a couple years later, remember, that Paul Wolfowitz, who was the Deputy Secretary of Defense, very senior government official, he gave an interview to Vanity Fair on May 9th of 2003. And in fact, it's on the Pentagon's website. So this is not fake news. And we even have a clip where Wolfowitz himself confirms this. He says, there are a lot of things different now. One that's largely gone by almost unnoticed, but it's huge, is that by complete mutual agreement between the U.S. and Saudi government, we can now remove almost all our forces from Saudi Arabia. Their presence there over the last 12 years has been a source of enormous difficulty for a friendly government. It's been a huge recruiting device for Al-Qaeda. In fact, if you look at Bin Laden, one of his principal grievances was the presence of so-called crusader forces on the Holy Land, Mecca and Medina. I think just lifting that burden from the Saudis is itself going to open the door to very positive things. Paul Wolfowitz.
That's pretty powerful.
That's more powerful
than anything I could say, you know, making my point.
It is, you know, yeah, it is. I mean, sometimes the truth sneaks out. So that's why when we read this story, it seems like a small story, as you point out, a minor thing. But we both got concerned because we remember what they said. This is a recruiting device for Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, and most people, you know, they don't want to believe it. It's not true, but it is in us dreaming it up. You know, it really happened. But I remember a quick response I had there was back to Giuliani. I said, haven't you read about this? You know, because Scheuer and others who knew something about that area, and we believe were telling us the truth, they were saying these kind of things, you know, and that we were building animosity and it backfired. So it really goes back to motivation. I don't challenge the people, the president and executive branch, for wanting to do this. I can point out where it's inconsistent from our viewpoint, and there shouldn't be a motivation of profits, but it's not like saying that that they're doing it deliberately.
Yeah.
But for us, this is sort of pay attention to it, you know, and listen to our enemies. Listen to Bin Laden. They say, but you know what? As bad as that guy probably was, they never caught him in a lie.
He was an
honest guy up front. He knew the enemies, and he knew what he believed in, and it was a mixed bag and a lot of tragedy. And this is the connection that makes it important. But how many other episodes have occurred since 20, 30 years where we have aggravated people and built up this animosity within a country? And it's not just the leadership, because we own so much of the leadership and we have so much control. But what about the people, itself? They have to have a bad feeling for us. What about Madeleine Albright's, her comment? And that's on the record on TV. Yeah. When they ask her about, what about the record of 500,000 children having suffered from the bombing and the sanctions against them? Yeah. He says, well, it's sort of like the price you have to pay. Yeah. That's what you have to pay. Now, can you imagine how a person would respond to that if you're barely surviving in some poor country, and that's what they really think about us? That is really pretty bad.
It is. And, we've been told over and over, we're told most recently by McCall, Representative McCall, we talked about the other day, Al-Qaeda is still there, ISIS is strong, Al-Qaeda is strong in the region, we got to be careful. We know that that's there. We know from Wolfowitz, we know from many others, Shorey himself would say it, that our troops there caused great recruiting bonuses, benefits to Al-Qaeda. So you have to wonder, and certainly this is not his intention, but is the president putting us at risk by putting these troops there? Is it really worth it? Are we being put at risk? Maybe troops that are deployed everywhere are going to be an increased risk by having these troops there. If this is a recruiting tool for Al-Qaeda, why the heck are we doing it?
I can see this in two ways. One, there can be a reaction to us, and it's a negative reaction. Why are you doing this to us? And we don't like what we're going to do, and we're going to defend our homelands, and we're going to do this. But then, as time goes on, and especially in Syria, all of a sudden, we're actually supporting Al-Qaeda. They're the enemy. They're the enemy, and that's the justification for the perpetual war on terrorism. And we end up, and I think the evidence is pretty good on exactly, I think we have admitted, we have to make alliances if they're helping us seek our goal.
Yeah.
And we want to get rid of Assad, and therefore we make this alliance. And it's not Trump who invented that idea. Matter of fact, it's been a principle of a bipartisanship for a long, long time.
Yeah, that is absolutely the case. And the other question really about the troops there, he was originally, it was announced that he was going to send 10,000. He said, that's fake news. Then it's 1,000. And among those 1,000, some of them are just going to be redeployed. There's already several hundred there. So it's not such a big thing. But the real question is, if he does do this, if these 500 and all the other goodies that you described are going to go in there too, what does this mean for the war on Yemen? And you opened the show with that. A, what does it mean for the war on Yemen? Are we going to get more directly involved in killing these poor people in Yemen? To put in some dictator in the first place, and B, and you also pointed it out, but it probably needs to be brought up again, what will Congress do if he's putting our troops closer to the action, closer to being directly involved? Because remember what they said before, well, it's not a war, this is not a war. But if he does that, Congress is waking up, thanks to a few good representatives and senators on both sides of the aisle. If something like this happens, you got to wonder if that's going to help percolate.
Yeah, and this military activity and activation in Saudi Arabia right now, I mean, when you look into it, it's not to protect the United States.
Yeah.
And it's not to attack. Matter of fact, it's one step removed from, maybe even Syria. But it is strategically, what they're saying is, this is a convenient place to be in case this war breaks out, a real war. Of course, I think we are in a real war because of the way we treat Iran. If that breaks out, then that's going to be a real problem. So I think that that is something that they haven't prepared for, and hopefully they don't get any further trapped into this situation.
Yeah, the other thing is the possibility that these troops are a tripwire, just like our 30,000 troops in South Korea. They're not going to be fighting a war with the North. They're there as a tripwire, sitting ducks almost, you might say. But I don't know if we're ready to close
well,
it
I
down.
Well, I did want to mention one thing, and then I'll get you to close. Is this tanker business.
Oh, yeah.
The tanker business, we're in a tanker war over there.
Yeah.
But it's really difficult now. It looks like another tanker was taken in, and there's no evidence as to or proof of who took what, why, you know. But a large tanker was taken in, and of course this is another tripwire they have to worry about. But it said that it involved some information over the weekend that there was a ship broke down and the Iranians were helping it, and the other one is, or they just captured the ship. And who owned the oil? The oil was supposed to have been loaded on a ship in Iran and then unloading and going on to another ship. But Iran said they were confiscating it because they were smuggling. Well,
yeah.
Of course, that's probably what you first hand you think, well, that's what Iran wants.
Yeah.
So this is a mixed story, but I think it's potentially very, very dangerous, but there could be an argument this is retaliation for what the British did.
It could be, and certainly whatever the case is, it makes it very murky and also very dangerous to have these ongoing things, and I think there's going to be more of them. And there are a lot of interested parties that want to have this war break out. But again, we have to simply say this is the value of non-interventionism. Dr. Paul and I would be out of a job if we had a non-interventionist foreign policy. We wouldn't have nothing to do but tend our gardens, I guess. But we wouldn't have to send 500 troops there and then start worrying, is this going to somehow cause another terrorist attack? Are the troops at risk? Why the heck are we there? Why are we dealing with the Saudis in this way? Life would be a lot easier. And we're going to study non-intervention. We're going to do our best as one of the missions of the Institute, Ron Paul Institute, to establish that as a real viable philosophy for foreign policy. And I want to remind our young people, not so young people either, students, upper division undergrads and graduate students, to apply for our wonderful one-day scholars seminar. It's on August 23rd, but the applications are due. The deadline is the 24th of July. It's coming up very soon. We got a lot of applications to go through. I maybe even hesitate to promote it because we're going to have to go through a lot. But please, we only have a few slots. We want to get the best people, and we wish we could take more. But please, it's an easy application. Check it out if you're interested. Go to ronpaulinstitute.org. There'll be a clickable link up there. It'll get you started on the application process. Shouldn't take you more than 10 or 15 minutes.
Well, I want to challenge Daniel a little bit because he said that if we win and they bring all the troops home, we won't have anything to do and we'll be out of a job. But I would suggest, Daniel, what we need to do then is concentrate even more so on the Federal Reserve. After we bring the troops home and get rid of the Federal Reserve, then maybe we can take a breather. But to tell you the truth, I think we're going to have a job on our hands if we're looking for a free society, because it's never existed. We know what it's all about. We've had hints about it. We benefit a lot by some issues that is designed for a free society, but it's never been happened. So it's a project that's ongoing. And all I know is the freer society is, the more prosperous it is, and the more peaceful it is. So I don't know why anybody would be opposed to it. And yet, right now, it seems like our leadership is deteriorating. And some days I think it's masochistic. It seems like some of the things that are being done and you hear on television on a daily basis is so self-destructive. And masochism for an individual is very self-destructive. And right now, when you look at what's happening with in our universities and the cultural Marxism, it's just outrageous. It's self-destructive. So we do have a lot of work to do, and we will continue that, but we sure hope to see a lot of you at our conference in August. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.